1 Corinthians 3, we see that there is no other foundation that can be laid other than Jesus Christ. The church, this body, the people, it's about Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And so the strategy is not, we're not allowed to create our own. It's already been created for us. And that's the beauty of the mission. It came, who are we to make a mission? No, it came from Scripture. Who are we to make a vision? No, it came from Scripture. And so how are we going to implement this vision and this mission that we have found in Scripture? Well, Jesus gives us the strategy. Jesus gives us the plan. And that is why we focus on the Great Commission. He said it. And church, He meant it. He said it. He said so many things through Scripture. And He meant it. And we've looked at the four. We found four imperatives. And four imperatives is just how we look through, and there's four actions in the Great Commission. And I've called them the four imperatives, the four requirements, the four commands, however you want to break it down. But so far, we've looked at go. And then it says, go, therefore, and make disciples. Now, we know that only the one who made this statement, when the one who said that all authority is in Him, that only He can make disciples, but we have a responsibility to be a part of that work by sharing our testimony, sharing the gospel. So we've looked at go and share, and then last week we looked at baptize, and we'll break all these things down again as we, this week it's my desire to we're going to talk about teach. That's the next thing He says, go therefore, and well, let's go ahead and read it. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This Great Commission that we're looking at, I'm going to break down what we reviewed the last several weeks. As we go, we are obedient to Jesus Christ. That's why it's the strategy, because obedience is the ultimate form of worship. We can come in and sing all day long, but if we don't go and do the things that we sing about, when the song is founded in Scripture, that is, if we can come and we can look at God's Word, we can listen to it, we can be here all day long, but you realize that until you apply what you have learned in this meeting and Sunday school and whatever way that you have, if you've read in your personal devotion, that it is not worship by merely reading the Word. It doesn't become worship until you begin to live it. It doesn't become worship until you obey it. It doesn't become worship until it begins to transform your life. Anything else, you're just pretty much just checking the box and walking through it. And may we never, never be a people who just do it because. May we turn it into worship by allowing it to shape our lives. But James 1:22, we've been looking at that. We go because as we go, we're obedient to Jesus Christ. And one of the main reasons is because James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. It's called to be doers. And then as we go, we begin with prayer. That's the foundation of everything. We've talked about spiritual warfare. We talked about it's not about what we can do. It's about what Christ wants to do through you. In your life, wherever you're at, you are the instrument. The church is the instrument that God has chosen to extend His kingdom. So as we go, we begin with prayer. Ephesians 6:18, in the context of the holy armor, says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Next, as we go, we share with the next generation. Oh, we have a responsibility as parents to pour into our children, as grandparents to pour into our family. And as we looked in Titus, as older men and older women in our body, you have the responsibility in Scripture to pour out what you know upon those of us that are younger. Why let the church stumble and figure out life when you can go ahead and breathe wisdom into their life from your own experiences? Oh, we need you. And then next, as we go, we share the good news. You know, it's not about you. It's about the good news. It's about that God created us to be with Him. It's about our sins separate us from Him, from God. Sin cannot be removed by anything that you can do. There is not a deed good enough that you can do to remove that sin. And then paying the price for our sin, Christ died on the cross for us. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And that everyone who believes in Him, everyone who trusts in His name, everyone who trusts in Him as their Savior can have eternal life. And then finally, the part of the gospel is that life begins today. It begins now. For many of us, it's already begun. And that it goes forever. It lasts forever. That is the gospel. And as we go, we share our testimony. That's our story, what Christ has done for us. You know, we can debate about the Word. We can do all this. But, you know, this is what God did for me. And you get somebody that's in a difficult state. Hey, I don't understand what you're going through, but let me share what Jesus has done in my life. I tell you, the Holy Spirit works through that. We've looked at that several weeks ago. It's through the power of the blood and through the power of our testimony, because we have power, absolutely not. But He who dwells in us, He does have power. As we go, we share through our lifestyle. Nobody cares what you have to say if you're not acting it. If you're acting like one thing and saying another thing, that's called hypocrisy. It's called, you know, and we all stumble. We all stumble, but I tell you, when we get back up and we say, you know, I was wrong there. I repent of that. I turn and change. There's healing in that. When people hear that, there's healing there. And then as we share through our love. You know, we can beat people with the Word all day long, but until they see our love, that's when God begins to work through our life, is when we begin to love. And as we looked at so many times, as we see in verse 18 in the beginning of the commission, and then verse 20, first is that we go in Christ's authority. You know, you don't go in your own authority. That's why we begin in prayer. Because we go in Christ's authority. It's about Him working through us. Then as we share, we share. Jesus goes with us. He is present. He is Yahweh Shammah. He is the God who is there. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And He will give us strength. And He will show us what to say. And He goes with us wherever we go. And then last week we looked at baptism. And if you're looking at your listening outline, we're about to get to the points, but on the back you kind of see the strategy and how it lays out, that Jesus laid it out. I just put it into a word picture. But it talks about next, as we share, and somebody, and a new disciple is born. We find in Scripture that the next step is to baptize. And again, not checking a list. Baptism is one of the first commandments of, not commandments, it's not a commandment. It's a first act of obedience. And why do we do it? We do it because of Christ's command. Here we see it. Go therefore and make disciples. And it tells us to baptize them. And we looked at all that very in depth last week. But we baptize because Christ commands. We baptize because of Christ's example. Jesus Christ Himself was baptized. And then we baptize because of Christ's life, because of what it represents. Remember, baptism is not the substance of salvation. It is the symbol of that substance. That substance is Jesus Christ, that He died. He went in the ground, He was dead, and He rose again. That's what baptism is about. And we baptize because of our salvation. Because of our salvation. We must first come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then be baptized. Baptized prior, you got it out of order. If you have yet to be baptized, after you became and confessed your Lord as your Savior, then it's out of order. And it may be, we may need to talk about the next step on getting it right. We baptize because of our testimony. We come and we identify with Christ, and we say that He is our Lord and our Savior, and we die to ourself, and we enter a new life in Jesus Christ. And the next, finally, in what we looked at last week, we baptize because of our commitment. It's about commitment. I tell you, community, church, is family. It's about commitment. It's about the commitment to die to sin. Are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. I'll expect you to be perfect when I'm perfect. And I hope the same will reciprocate. The commitment to live for God and for His will. And where do we find that? We find it right here. We seek it. We pursue it. We live it. The commitment to live a repentant life. That means that it's a life that we used to live like this, but now we've turned and we live like this. And when we stumble, we get back up and we repent and we turn and we hold each other accountable. accountable and we help each other out. And accountability is a thing of love, not of a thing of ugliness. But then the commitment to obey Jesus, our Lord, and all that He taught. And then a commitment to live in a community with genuine baptized believers. It's a commitment. You know, I heard something. Stephanie was flipping through the channels when we came out. This guy was preaching from Metro City, D.C. Church. And he had something like what I had given you. And then he was preaching on the same things that I've been preaching about. We've been talking about this. He was right on. It's like, man, have you been looking at my notes? And I know this guy's, he ain't looking at my notes. And the Holy Spirit's doing something. God is moving. But one thing that he asked his congregation, and it was so good, are we a community or are we just a crowd? Think about that. Friends, are we a community or are we just a crowd? That's deep. That is meaningful. Is there the relationship that is needed? And then finally, what we looked at last week is that this commitment is one to be transformed inwardly, to be different. If we are confessed followers of Jesus Christ, there is a difference in us, and it will be a transformation over time to where our life is more like Jesus Christ. I tell you, transformation happens in the context of relationship. Happens within relationship. That's why community is so important. That's why covenant is so important. That is why church is so important. And friends, hear me saying, I know I've said it many times, but I want you to get it. This is not a church. This building is just the church building. This is a meeting house. You are the church. There is nothing holy about this building. The only thing holy is who is in the building. You are holy, for He is holy. We find that. We've looked at that over and over and over again. You are the people called Perdido Bay Baptist Church. And we will live in covenant with one another. And may we never be a crowd. May we be a community of believers. And now we get to Matthew 28:20, where we find our sermon today. Here he says, Jesus continues on, he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's the fourth imperative, to teach. What are we to teach? And let's talk about this word teach, this verb teach. It's not talking about the people who have the spiritual gift of teaching. It's not talking about pastors and teachers like we see in Ephesians 4. It's not talking about those who have been spiritually gifted to lead through the act of teaching. This is an action verb that is being applied for all who confess Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. We are commanded to go and teach. Are you commanded to teach like this? No. This is, remember, transformation happens in the context of relationship. This is one-on-one. Remember, this is about us being a disciple of Christ, and that means that we are pouring our life into other people. And this is the teaching that we're talking about today. Teaching that usually doesn't happen on the grounds of the church property. Happens best in maybe your living room, or in their living room, or in the coffee shop, or in a place where you can get real with one another. I tell you, we have this fellowship time where we go across the aisle and we shake hands, and that's good, that's fine. But that's not community. That is saying, hey, and we should have the opportunity to say, hey, because we're all rushing, we're getting here, and that's good. But I tell you, the relationship that where transformation will take place is going to be more than within the hour that we have here and the hour that we have on Wednesday night. It's got to be personal. It's got to be real. It's community. It's life. That's where this teaching takes place. But what do we teach? We teach, it says here, to observe. To observe what? What does that word observe mean? Just to look at? No, we're good at that as a church. We can look at what we're supposed to do, but no, it means to keep, to obey, to heed, to do. And that's what it talks to. Teach them to observe, to do all, to do what? All that I have commanded you. Where do we find that? Right here. Right here is where we find it. This is what we're supposed to teach. is this word right here. See, all these things that Jesus taught, it was new then. It was new then. You realize they didn't have the Scripture. They didn't have the words. They didn't have the 66 books in the canon. They didn't even have the Apocrypha. They had nothing, and they were going on testimony, on sharing their faith with each other. But we have it. We have no excuse. We have none at all. The teachings of the New Testament. Just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you had nothing else, you know, there are even, and I'm about to chase a rabbit, I'm trying to fight it, but you know what? There are churches in international places where people are being beheaded, where children are being beheaded today. That's happening. It's real. That sometimes all they have is a couple pages. It's a couple of pages. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is transforming lives, even with a few pages. Because it is about God, it's about Christ, it's about His Word. I tell you, when we obey the apostolic doctrine, and what that means is when we believe what's in this Word, that we are obeying the commands of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Second Timothy 2:2, it says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses," listen to this, it says, "entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now here, this relationship between Paul and Timothy, there was a relationship there. And what's neat is that we can look in Acts, and we'll be looking in Acts starting next week, and we're going to go through the book. I don't, if it takes a couple months, if it takes a year, we'll just see how God's going to lead us through it. But we see Paul, he was a sinner, much like many of us were. He was worse than many of us, if you want to really begin comparing sins, if that's a good thing. But we see his life has changed, and we see that he was taught. He was taught by the church, but then we see that even by Jesus Christ, breathed a little bit extra into him. We see in Galatians, there's 14 days, and forgive me, 14 years that Paul was transformed to become the person that he became. And here he is now, the things that he learned from God's Word, now he is pouring into Timothy. And so Timothy's a younger guy, he's a church planner, and he just started a brand new church with him. Paul is pouring his life into him. All that he has been taught about Jesus Christ, he is now pouring into Timothy. And what's he telling Timothy to do? He's telling, now you go and do the same and teach other people. And not just so people so they'll learn, but teach other people who are able to what? Able to teach others. Do you get it? You see, that's discipleship. This commission, this strategy, this plan that Christ has given us, it doesn't require that we all become pastors. It doesn't require that we all become Sunday school teachers. It doesn't require that we be do anything else. We are just responsible for pouring our life out, the life of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, into the people that's within our circle of influence. That's the teaching that we're talking about today. You know, you say, who? Well, usually it would be the person that you have shared the gospel with. A person that's life has been changed and you've been able to come up upon them, and then you've been a part of their baptism. And now let's stop on that. Baptism, nowhere in Scripture does it say that it has to be the pastor or the priest or anything like that. It just talks about the person needs to be baptized. And what other meaningful relationship would there ever be if the one who was a part of the journey of a person coming to Jesus Christ had the opportunity to be a part of their baptism? You're talking about a connection. Because now when you have made a disciple, when you've made a disciple, they're your responsibility. They're a part of your life. Now you're a part of their journey. And when a person comes to Christ, they're like a baby. I mean, spiritually wise. I mean, some of them are older and bigger than us. But they're spiritually, they're like a baby. And if we get a baby, do we just, oh, yeah, I got a baby, praise the Lord, and then we leave it there and expect it, and we just look at it an hour on Sunday, an hour on Wednesday? No, we take it, we nurture it, we build a relationship with it. That's usually the person that we would be teaching with, is the person that we poured our life into, the person that we were a part of their baptism. And then from there, what do we do now? We've been baptized. Yay, we sit the pew for 27 years, right? Absolutely not. That's the problem with the American church today. No, we're supposed to teach them. We're supposed to spend time with them. It's called disciple. And you're like, Lonnie, I don't get it. I know you don't get it. Because most of us, it didn't happen. That's the problem, is that the cycle has been broken. Right here is where the church has failed. We haven't taught people to teach. We haven't taught people to be disciples. We've gone and lives have been changed. The Holy Spirit has changed lives. People have come to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they've been told to come, come, come. And I tell you, nowhere in Scripture does it say to come. It says go, go, go. It says go, and it says to share. It's what make disciples. You're getting that, right? If you look in the Scripture, it doesn't say it. But to share our testimony so we can make disciples in partnership with Jesus Christ. And then we baptize them into commitment with Jesus Christ. And then we teach them what they're supposed to learn until they come to the point where they're able to go and do the same thing with somebody else. That's what this is about. But we have broke this, and somewhere we got to get the courage to say, you know what, the discipleship didn't happen to me, but I read it and I see it in Scripture, and I know that Jesus Christ wants me to be the ambassador. Jesus Christ wants me to do the things that He has told me to do, and I see this, and I need to do it. We need people who will step out and break the cycle, or actually begin the cycle somewhere, somehow. Will you join me? Church, will you join me in that? We have to do it. It's why the American church is sterile. It's why it's unfruitful. It's why it's in decline. It's because we have not followed the strategy that Jesus Christ has given us. If I may, I'm going to share a Tozer quote with you. It comes from the God's Pursuit of Man. Says, the gulf between theory and practice is so great as to be terrifying. Now, what we're talking about is theory. We've been talking about a lot of theory. We've been talking about a lot of knowledge. And you say now this, between theory and practice, the gulf is so great as to be terrifying. It says, for the gospel is too often preached and accepted without power. And the radical shift, you can hear that, guys? The radical shift which the truth demands is never made. In this thing that we call Christianity, this thing that we call a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is power in it. And that there is supposed to be a radical shift, that when Jesus Christ comes in our life and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are no longer the same. It tells us we are a new creation and we should act like it. It's a radical shift. Read the life of Paul. First, Saul. His shift was so radical, they changed his name. Man, I'd love to see some of us. You know, I don't know what y'all would change my name into. I don't even want to know. Some of y'all are thinking something. Yeah, goofball or something. You know, and then in this book, War of the Spirit, Tozer says, anyone can do the possible. Add a bit of courage and zeal, and some may do the phenomenal. But only Christians are called to do the impossible. Called to do the impossible. Do you get it? Do you feel it? Do you sense it? Do you want it? Do you desire it? I tell you, we are in a new beginning in church. If I hurt your feelings, I don't mean it. But today I draw a line in the sand and say, we will not be the same on March, or not March, I keep saying March, on October 8th. We will not be the same. We are on the Word of God, and that is it. Final done. That's the only place we will go, and the only place I will lead as the shepherd of this church is to follow Jesus Christ. And if you're not on board with that, I promise you there are many, many, many other churches that will not proclaim the gospel, churches that are not standing on Christ, and they're welcoming you, and they want you there today. They want you to there today, but for today, the line is drawn, and we will stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and on nothing else. And may God strike me dead if I ever, ever turn from it. And I mean that. Now I say, my deacons, please, if you see me turning, turn me around. But I mean it. Do you get it? Do you get it? It's serious. It is serious. It's important. It's important, and for too long, it's not been important. It has not been important, and it has to be important. The new believer is much like a new baby. It must be taught. And where does it learn the most? It learns the most from the mom and dad. Why? Because there's relationship. Usually there's relationship. And we remember, relationship creates the perfect environment for learning, for education. Why? Because there's love, there's nurturing, there's patience, there's time. There's even discipline. And you're trying to discipline somebody when there's no love, that doesn't come across as loving and restorative. Remember, transformation, this growth, this learning happens in the context of relationship. So how do we do it? We've talked about it. We just looked at where Tozer said, hey, it's terrifying because the gap between theory and the gap between practice, it's terrifying. How do we get started? That leads us to our points today. Before we teach, we pray. We've covered that. We've covered that because it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. We have to pray. We have to pray. We talked about it Sunday or Wednesday when we looked at the Lord of the harvest. As we pray for the person that is sharing the gospel, and we pray for the person that is the gospel is being shared with, it's got to be in powerful prayer. It has to begin in prayer. Next, when we teach, we enter a covenant. We enter a covenant with one another. And we've been talking about covenant a lot. Pretty much what it is, it's an agreement. It's a relationship. It's a bond. It's a promise to one another. It's a pledge. It's a commitment. It develops unity. It develops trust. It defines the relationship. I know what to expect from you. You know what to expect from me. And through that, we're all on the same page. And it allows each other to speak truth in each other's life. When I signed that covenant, when I read it to my family, when I read it to my kids, and we all said, yes, we'll do it, or we'll try, we'll do our best. Part of that is we know that part of the one anotherness, that if we ever, something happens, that one of you will come and help us. Something ever happens to you, one of us, will come and help. We are community. We are family. There's covenant here. Trying to teach others out of covenant, though, is tough. You start challenging a person's worldview. You begin moving through transformation and talking about things. I tell you, people will get hurt and people will leave. Remember, the purpose of teaching is transformation. Teaching them about the things of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Some things may hurt. Some things may stun. Some things, because it's radical shift. But where the Holy Spirit exists, He will support that shift. You start, I tell you, it's about transformation. And to teach them to be more like Christ. That's what it's about. I'll tell you again what we've said it so many times. Transformation occurs in the context of relationship. All you're really saying is, may I journey with you. They have changed a life journey. You've gone out, you've served, you've made a connection, you've shared the gospel, you've shared what Jesus Christ has done for you. You've asked them, will you believe? And then they said yes. And you went, ah! They said yes. What do I do now? And then you walk with them and then you say, will you commit? Will you follow? Will you commit? And then you walk through them through that baptism. And then now you walk through them and teach. You're like, Lonnie, I don't know enough. You're right. The next point is when we teach, we learn. When we teach, we learn. You do not have to know everything. And if you've ever taught or ever had to teach a lesson before, you know this is true, that when you teach something, and when you're responsible for bringing the word on something, you usually know a whole lot more than what you're supposed to know. It teaches you. And as we teach others, we learn and we prepare with them and walk with them, and we grow also. Let's look at Romans 2:21. Romans 2:21. We've got some time. We're hurrying here. Romans 2:21, where it says, you therefore who teach another. I hear pages flipping. We'll pause for a moment. It says, you therefore who teach another. This is a person who's teaching. Do you not teach yourself? You who preach that And again, this preach, I know that throws a lot of you off. This word is just a word that means a herald, one that makes a proclamation of the truth. This is not referring to a preacher. It says, you who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? No, he's saying the example is, no, if you teach somebody not to steal, well, you're not out stealing yourself. That would be hypocrisy. And that's not good. We hear, you know, the word disciple literally means learner. A disciple of Christ. And remember that Christians are only used, the word Christian in the New Testament is only used like twice. And then the word disciple, the label of disciple is like 269 times. We are more disciple than we are Christians. And being called a Christian means that we are a disciple. And that word literally means that we are a learner. It denotes that we are, that we follow another's teaching. And that teaching that we follow is Jesus Christ. And we don't just follow it, but we're adherents of it. We are supporters of it. We are doers of the word. And then as such, we become imitators of the teacher. Well, who's the first teacher? Jesus Christ. He taught and he gave the word. He taught disciples and they're supposed to go and teach what the teacher, what Jesus Christ taught. And that's what we're supposed to teach, all that he has commanded us. And that is what a disciple is. And the goal of being a disciple is stated by Jesus himself in Luke 6:40. Let's look at Luke 6:40. Y'all know this. It says, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. But guess what? A disciple of Christ is like Christ. And then as we go and teach, we're teaching for the purpose of people to be like our teacher, which is like Christ. And that is the whole purpose of discipleship, is to pour in ourselves into people's lives for the purpose of making them like Jesus Christ. As we learn, or as we teach, we learn. As we become more like Christ, we teach others to be more like Christ. And then as we teach, we're not some authority in their life, but we're a fellow, just a sojourner, I guess you could say. A person just living life with them as they go through difficult times. We build relationships with them. We ask questions. We grow with them. And as we build relationships, we study together. We sharpen each other. We hold each other accountable. I recommend, one of you like, well, how do I get started? What book do I start? It has to include this. But I'm going to talk to them, and I've got some things I want to show y'all here. Whenever you're pouring a life into somebody, it's got to have the word. You got to have the word. You can't just pick up a book and do it. Hey, let's read this book together if it doesn't have Jesus Christ. But sometimes you can find some really good studies on books that allow you to engage with it. My favorite one is Growing Strong in God's Family. This is Navigator series. And it's a workbook, and it goes through, and it, what does it do? I'm trying to find the table of contents. But it's based off of Colossians 2:7, and it's about, what does it mean to study the Bible? What does it mean to memorize a verse? What does it mean to mark in your Bible? And there are resources out that are like this that will guide your discussion, because if you don't have something to guide your discussion, you will end up wandering, and next thing you know, your time is up because you just talked about football or the weather or sewing or whatever y'all talk about. This is a great thing. It's biblically founded, and it teaches us to be followers of Christ. I highly recommend you find something that you like. And also, it has a reading plan in there. It's all about Jesus Christ. When you're like, well, Lonnie, I'm just going to take them through the book of the Bible. Well, that's good for you. But if you're not walking with them, guess what? They don't know how to do a word study yet. They don't know how to, why there's different translations. They don't know what's the difference between the King James and this or that. They may think there's 15 different Bibles. No, there's only one. It's based in the Hebrews, the Aramaic, and the Greek, and these are just translations. There's things that people need to know. And sometimes they can't figure all this out. Do we take this? Absolutely not. It's got to be about the Word. But we have to teach them how to get into the Word. Does that make sense? You're like, Lonnie, I don't know how to do it myself. We'll learn together. Come ask me. I'll help you. And we'll learn together. We'll make a class if there's enough. Well, forget it. If there's one, we'll make a class. We'll figure it out. That's what community's about. So we have to do it. It's got to be biblically based. 2 Timothy 3:16. Just write that down. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's got to be based on the Word, but we have to teach them to understand, to learn the Word. And that's a resource that I have found that helps people get into the Word. Next, when we teach, we are an example. You know, don't ask them to do anything that you're not modeling. Don't say, hey, Scripture says this, but you know what? I do it pretty much, but every now and again, I just don't do it. You know, don't be that kind of person. I had that employee training me once. Don't be that kind of person. That's not what we're going to do. You show them. If there's a memory verse, you memorize it. If you're doing a Bible reading plan together and you're reading through the book of 1 Peter, which has got a whole lot of theology packed into it, and then you read with them. You don't come and say, hey, did you read your stuff? I do, and I have a question about this. Oh, well, let me read it first. No, you better be leading. If there's a question to answer and you're going through a resource like that, well, you answer it too. Well, I've done it 15 times. We'll do it 16. You walk with them. You are on a journey with these people. Titus 2:7 tells us, as I'm turning, Titus 2:7 says, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will not put to shame, have nothing bad to say about us. I read further than y'all had. Sorry about that. But it says, tells us to show yourself to be an example. Show ourselves. We cannot teach if we are not being an example. Next, when we see, when we teach, there is application. We'll look at Luke 10 quickly. Luke 10 shows application. Jesus is pouring his life out into disciples, not just the 12, but we see here there was more. There were 70, and he's going to send them out in 35 teams. That means two together. And Luke 10:1 says, now after the Lord appointed 70 others, he sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he entrusted... Ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And here he said, Jesus sent them out. He prepared them and he sent them out. There has to be a time that we're talking about theory, talking about theory, talking about theory. We got to cross the gap and we got to get to practice. We see it in school. We see it in education. It's because it works. It applies. We have to be able to apply what we have learned. Jesus Christ was sending people out. I tell you, these weren't people that were educated. They weren't special. There was nothing about them except that they had an awareness of Jesus' power and they believed in his vision to reach all people. What about us, church? Do we believe in Jesus' power? Do we believe in Jesus' vision to reach all people? We've said that's our vision statement. Is that the vision of Perdita Bay Baptist Church is that all people within the reach of our congregation, that's a lot of people if you map it out, will have the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people. What about us? Then let's read Luke 10:2. It goes back to our first point that we just made here. And it says, and he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech. That word means pray. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So here he says, you're going out, but first you need to what? Pray. We need to pray. Why? Because there is a Lord of the harvest. That means he is your Lord, he is their Lord, and he will guide you. And finally, when we teach, there is accountability. In school, a teacher gives a test. It gives a grade. There's a scoreboard. They kind of know what they're doing. But accountability and discipleship happens best when there is relationship. When we have relationship, we can ask the hard questions. So what is God doing in your life? Well, how are you doing in your spiritual journey? When we have a relationship with them, how are you doing in this struggle? We can call up and say, hey, are you in the Word? And those are questions that people will say, you know, I am. Or, you know, but guess what? They have the right to ask that to you too. It's accountability, and accountability isn't about control. It's about growth. It's about transformation. It's about becoming more like Jesus Christ. Here in just a minute, as Felicia's coming and Lynn's coming, Mike will pray for us in just a minute. We've spent 4 weeks talking about go, share, baptize, teach. It all goes together. How does it? It begins with the disciple of Christ. Begins with the disciple of Christ who is living out their calling in their life according to their spiritual gift. We are serving in whatever aspect God has for us, within or without or both in the church. We are living our lives that according to the strengths that He has given us, and we are sharing our testimony. We are connecting with people in our life, and we're asking them. We're telling them about Jesus Christ. We are sharing and asking them, will they believe? And when they say yes, then we are walking on that journey with them. They just became our responsibilities as disciples. We are now a disciple maker, and we are pouring into their life, and then we're saying, will you follow? Will you follow? Will you commit? Now that you love God, will you commit? And that commitment comes through baptism. And they commit, and then they commit to the body of Christ. And we talk to them about what that commitment is. And then as we say, will you commit? Will you follow? Do you now want to grow? And we ask them to come and follow, and that's where we begin to teach. And we walk with them, whether it be 12 weeks, whether it be 6 months, whether it be a year, however it fits into your covenant with this person. Say, hey, we're going to meet at this time, and we're going to talk about these things. And then as they learn, as transformation occurs within that relationship, and we're pouring our life into them, they come into a spot where they begin to abide. They become to a spot where they no longer need you quite as much. Kind of like our teenagers, huh? And we walk with them, and they begin to explore what God's purpose for them is through their spiritual gifting. And they begin to understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And then we get to the point, will you serve? Will you abide with your God? Will you walk with your God? And then as they begin to walk with their God, they still have that relationship with you, and it will be there always. Will always be there. But they get that relationship with their God, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them, and they know what they need to do. And then guess what? They go out and they do the same thing. They start right back where you started with them. And they go out and as they serve their Lord and they abide with their God, they begin to connect. And they begin to ask, will you believe? And it goes over and over. Is that my plan? Absolutely not. But yes, it is. Because it's my Lord's plan. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you are on the plan. Let's not make it that. I don't know where you are on your journey as a disciple. But I pray. I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right if I pray for them today? I got it. And I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you haven't even began your journey yet. Maybe you haven't began your journey. You have a God who loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And it's only through His Son and through the sacrifice of His Son and the belief and believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth that we can have eternal life. I invite you, be a part of that today. And wherever you are on your journey, will you believe? Will you follow? Will you commit? Will you serve? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you've given us your great commission. You've given us your word. And Lord, just as we read from that quote from a wise servant who said that the gap of applying the theory, turning the theory into practice, it's terrifying. Lord, so I pray for our congregation, for our family, for myself. I pray, Lord, you give us the courage to move through that which terrifies us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us courage and strength and empower us through your Holy Spirit to do the impossible. Become people who will go. People who will share the truth about your Son. People who will baptize and commit and lead others through that commitment. And then people who will teach. Lord, so many things are out of our comfort zone to do these things. We can't do it in our own strength, and even if we tried, it'd be meaningless. But I pray, Lord, you would do a work in our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing and go ahead and stand, and we'll